Now let me turn the Zoom recording on. If you don't mind, Daniel, you're going to be on the record. And anybody else that speaks from now on is going to be on the record. Amen. Record to the cloud. Okay. Yes, go ahead, brother.
I wrote it a little bit down. Yeah, but I have been really looking out for many years is to really see the sign of the beast coming forth, and not that I am interested in it, but I just know that when the beast is going to rise up, it is in the same time as the body of Christ is going to rise up. That is how the harvest is. And I have been following since I was in Iceland, and when Cecil and many others, Jerry and many people came and started to preach about the end time. And preach about the time that was coming, and the time when the beast was going to rise off the earth. And I have been following this for quite a while. And when this thing started to come forth as the world government forum in Davos in Swiss, they start to put together authority on earth that was going to come for the whole earth. They were going to come together and infect this order business and every political thing in the world. They were going to come and also affect order business. And when I started to look at this, I saw that the Davos had 10 people that was the main people that was speaking there. But only 7 of them was people of nations. So there was a 10 authority that was there. But only a 10th leader of nations. And we're not saying that this is a 10th for 7 kings, but please let them look at it. And they made a big agreement. And in February, they were going to meet in Singapore.
Zoom.
In this meeting, they are going to put off the first meeting to rule over the earth. Over. And what really hit me was it was about they were putting off the one from the government that was going to rule over the whole earth in every way. But they were going to meet in Singapore. And the name Singapore means lion city. And we have to look at this sign that we see in this thing. And what this really hit me is that the beast is rising up before our eyes. And it is rising up to meet now and also to come forth in full power. They are not coming forth to really give us any message. They are not coming forth to really speak to us, because this system, this system that is coming forth now in Singapore, they are going to give a message and control and order to every government in the world. Because the second piece that we see, I really feel in my heart, I'm right with it. And really I put it before the Lord, because I would not want to speak something from
from my own understanding. I want to understand it from God. And I want to be confident in my heart about what God is showing us this day. There's a changing in the political world in every country around the world. There's a coming forth of new political power in every country. You see it everywhere. And it is a new political power that has a true form. They have a social and a capitalist politics together. And that is what we are facing. We are facing the first beast and the second beast come forth. The first beast is going to give order to every government within the world. And you are going to see that it doesn't matter who is ruling in the country. They have already put it in every political power that it will be a change. It doesn't matter. It belongs to the chair, not to the people of the city manager. It belongs to the power of the authority, of the chair. And we see that also when the dragon fell, that he has a 10 drop on his head. And when you see the beast that was rising on the ground, they have changed the face. And look at it and search it out, because there's a change of the power and authority when the dragon fell and when the beast is rising on. The crown is not in the same place, because the dragon has the crown on the head, but the beast has the crown on the foot. Mm-hmm. It means that it is a changing of power in this thing. Mm-hmm. That is what I start to see. But this thing is really starting to happen now in Walden. And what I feel in my spirit is really as something every day. When I was praying yesterday, I heard only one word. Prepare for what is coming. As he pointed me, prepare for the 13th chapter of Mark. And that was what I really heard in my spirit. Prepare. We are thinking that everything is going to be opened up again. But that it is not the way of open again. We are going into the month in the fall now. It is the whole of darkness. It has never been such a darkness that is coming like it is. But I saw another thing that I saw when I was praying. I saw in my spirit a big crowd of angels in heaven coming together. I saw a big crowd of angels really coming together like a one foot. And out of the midst of this angel, there came just one that went to the first among them. And he came down from heaven to earth. All the angels came down with him. And I heard the voice that said, "Now the heaven is closed."
Now the heaven is closed.
In heaven is now coming down to earth, and it is going down to be around us, surround us, it's going to be with us, and it is going to be in this day.
Amen.
And when I start to look at it, how it works, he said, when you open your mouth and speak, and when you open your mouth to pray, your word, your spirit that is coming out, it will be like that when you are blowing on a candle to turn the light on. We are coming forth in the light of God to blow the light. slow it down in our prayer and action, it will be total darkness, because this light that has been in this world, lighted off by man, it's made by man and not by God. And that is going to be turned down into total darkness, because the blood of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God is going to constantly come forth in His nature and His power these days. We are going to come forth in His light, and it is going to be the only true light that is going to be shine on earth, everywhere, in all nations, and people and the nation is going to come to this light, and this light alone, because all the power and authority that we reign and rule with Christ is going to be in us these days. Amen. Praise Amen. God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Daniel. You say this meeting is going to take place in August. It's going to begin to happen in August. Do you know when in August?
Between 17 and 23 in August. It's going to be in August.
Okay. So we should...
It is going to be in
Singapore.
It's going to be in the
Lion City. Mm-hmm. Amen.
We know that these people
have been
meeting in Davos. There is a sign in this, because Davos is the highest place that you can live in Europe.
Where is that?
It's in the mountains. It's in Switzerland.
Oh, Swiss.
It's the highest place that you can live in Europe.
Okay.
It speaks about the highest world.
Mm-hmm.
And this meeting, going to this
website that speaks about it in World Economic Forum in Davos. And I can even send you, Mark, a link about it, what they speak about. And I can also send you the people that is really coming forth, in what country is coming forth there. There is a seven nation.
Okay. Okay, yes.
And it is really good to look at, because it is really our final time.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Daniel. Amen. Maybe we could get into the Word, and then if there's anything more we need to share, it would be after that. I want to go back to Matthew chapter 25. We'll just pick up the last few of these verses here. We're coming to verse 11, but let me take it back to verse 8. We'll pick up there. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." And this coming that he's talking about here is this secret coming. The secret coming. The coming into, the spoken of by Malachi. He shall come suddenly into his temple. This is what he's talking. We do not know when this sudden coming is going to happen. But as Daniel has shared with us here this morning, we can see the darkness rising. We can see a greater strength being given, a greater authority being given to the beast, to the darkness. So last week I was, we were looking mostly at the question is what is happening behind on the inside of the closed door? What is happening there? Okay, we talked about the power, the glory that God is going to give as this marriage is consummated between Christ and His bride, His beloved. But now let's take a look at the other side of the door. What is this? Is a closed door. This is a sealed door. Can we see this as a sealing? Those that are inside are sealed. We'll get into that later. But those that are outside, what is happening outside this door? And we have a little picture here of, first of all, the foolish virgin is asking for oil. So let me go back to maybe chapter 7 in Matthew. And we'll just pick up some pictures here. I can see the urgency of what Daniel has shared with us. I can somehow I sense an urgency. I see God moving. I see Him closing doors that we have to work, of course, with Him in the closing of these doors. But I also see His hand coming to open other doors. I don't know exactly what they are. But I see change. Who was it? Was it the Lord gave a word to Rita? What was that word about change? Seasons of change. Is that what the Lord spoke to you? Yeah, she heard the word. I believe it was the Lord. Seasons of change. We're coming into changes again. Brethren, I think we heard already. We're not going to go back to the old way. It's not going to go back to the way things were. We're going to have to shift into a new way, a new and living way. So, looking at Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21, I think this is speaking to some of the same things that Jesus said in Matthew 24. Now, brethren, we need to understand that what we're looking at in different places of Scripture are really different views, different aspects of the same thing, a different picture, all right? You see a photograph from this side, from that side, from the bottom, from the top, and it's giving us a more complete understanding. So here's what Jesus is saying. He says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now, in the very first meeting here with this parable, we've defined the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is... We're not talking about those who are saved, okay? The foolish virgin, I believe, can be saved. But she's entered into something else in the kingdom that others could not enter into. They desired, but they were unable to do so. So Jesus is talking about the kingdom here. He's not talking about just salvation by the blood. And that's a good word, by the way. If that's the message God has given you to preach, then go out and preach it. But God has given, yes, He's given that word, but He's given us another word to go beyond that point. So, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. The foolish virgins said, Lord, Lord. The outer court has said, Lord, Lord. So, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. When I first heard Brother Duciles say that the kingdom of heaven is the holy place, it's not the outer court, I shook my head and I thought, what? What are you talking about? I thought the whole tabernacle was a picture of the kingdom. But we're talking about something a little deeper here. Okay? Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord. Now, he's saying here, many shall say unto me in that day. Many. Do you catch the word many? In other words, the majority of the church, the majority of Christians, I don't know how to define many. Many could be 90%. Many could be 95%. Many could be some other number. I don't know what many means. And perhaps I have no cause to try to figure it out. But needless to say, God is saying that those who are in the kingdom, in the fullness, in the authority, those who are among the two witness company, shall we use that term, those who are of the man-child company, those who are of the Gideon 300 company, those who are of the 144,000 company, these all mean the same thing, brethren. They're just different pictures. This will be a minority group, okay? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? So we're looking at what's happening outside the door. Outside the door is going to be a very difficult time. Many are going to say, and they're going to cry out to the Lord, Lord, have we not done this? Let's look at the things that they are saying that they have done. Have we not prophesied in thy name? Now, you know, brethren, the old order church is not involved in prophecy very much. So this has to be what we would call a full gospel type of ministries, those who believe in the gifts of the Spirit, many who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You see, being baptized in water is one thing. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit is another thing. But being baptized in Christ is yet another thing. So we're talking about the baptism into Christ, which is in the holy place, which is the kingdom of God. So, brethren, you cannot stop. There are many churches that camp in the outer court and say, well, we've got baptism in water. The other baptism is all done away with. It ended with the death of John or Paul or somebody back there 2,000 years ago. No, this is not the way it is, brethren. Amen? We need to move on. So I remember back in the 1970s, I'm going back a ways, when I experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, this is the best thing that ever happened. We mingled with those who had the gifts of the Spirit. We came to the meetings where the prophecy was given. There were men who came, laid hands on us, gave a wonderful prophetic word. And I do not believe that to this day that some of these men have moved on from that place. I remember very clearly, and Larry, I don't think you were at that meeting, but I remember we went down, what was that retreat center just south of Albany, just off of Route 9, I forget what it was. It was a Catholic retreat center of some sort that had opened up their doors, and a lot of the young preachers that were just starting a move in the Capital District, we all gathered, and there was a prophet. There was a man from California that came. I could probably remember his name if I thought about it a little bit. And I'd never seen the man before. He'd never seen us before. And I remember moving in a gift of prophecy. He came down the aisle. I was sitting quietly toward the back of this group of maybe 30 or 40 pastors. He came down the aisle and he put his hand on me, or maybe he just put his hand up in front of me, and he said, son, the Lord has called you to teach. And I thought, whoa, how did he know that? I've never told him anything. And then he said, but the Lord would have you teach not just teaching, but prophetic teaching. Teach prophetically. And I believe he spoke a true word of God. Now, I don't know where this man is. He never was part of our group after that. We got involved with the groups that we got involved with, and he's gone. I don't know. But you see, this was the baptism of the Spirit. This was the time of the, what did they call it? The charismatic renewal. Yes. It was a name that they gave it. Brethren, we have to go beyond that point now. When we heard the teaching, now, to come into the fullness of Christ, it's not just the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's coming into all of Christ, where I am in Christ now. Christ is in me. I am in Christ. Amen? I cannot do anything. I cannot go my own way. You see, this is the meaning of iniquity. When the Lord says they were involved in iniquity, and I'll take you to the last verse. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? So there are people who are of the fullness of the Holy Spirit who have not yet entered into this place called the kingdom of God. We're talking about the fullness of the kingdom of God. We're talking about where the veil has been removed. We're talking about, you know, brethren, I believe the time has come when the veil is gone from the holy place. Yes, the veil is gone. As far as God is concerned, that veil is removed. The book of Hebrews tells that veil was rent from top to bottom. God has no more hindrance. The hindrance is the veil in us, the veil in our soul, the veil in our mind. The veil in our thinking is keeping us from that place. On the other hand, we can't get in there until God opens the door and lets us in. So we're still waiting for that time when His glory, His fullness, His authority is going to be poured out on a people who will walk 3.5 years and finish out the 70th year of Daniel. Amen. The 70th week, I should say, of Daniel. Okay, so he says, in thy name we have cast out devils. Now, Jesus is not contending with them and telling them, no, you didn't do that. He's not saying, no, you didn't. Yes, they did cast out devils. They did prophesy. But that is not sufficient to bring you into the place that we're talking about. And it says, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Amen. And then I will profess, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, iniquity does not just mean they were doing wicked things. It does not mean that they were robbing banks and killing people and visiting prostitutes and whatever thing you can think of is gross, wicked. It doesn't mean that they were doing those kind of things. The word iniquity means lawlessness. It means you are a law unto yourself. It means that your church system has made its own laws, has made its own rules, and if you come with the word of the Lord and say, I have a word to give you, the word that you will get in response to them is, we have our own. You have to get permission from the bishop. You have to get permission from somebody else. Rita and I went up to visit Alaska in 2017. That's almost 4 years ago. Now, I lived there for 5 years, and faithfully for 5 years, I was a member of a certain church that preached the truth, the gospel, but they didn't go beyond that. But nevertheless, that's where I was. So I went up to, I found this church when I was up there. It was a Sunday coming up, it was maybe a Saturday. And I said, brethren, I'd like to meet you. I was a member here many, many years ago, very faithful member. And I said, I have a word I'd like to share with your group on Sunday. Well, the man that met with me, he said, well, I'm the assistant. He said, the pastor's gone. He's out of town. And I can't do it without his permission. And I said, well, I'd like to share a word. Well, we've got our own plan. In other words, we have our law, we have our system. So I never got an opportunity. And when I left Fairbanks, I inquired at several other places, and I came to the conclusion the doors are all shut. Even though the people are doing wonderful works, marvelous works, some of them are doing, some of them have a life of the Spirit. You know, the voice of the bridegroom is still heard in some of these places. The voice of the harp, you know, still heard. The sound of the Spirit is still being heard. Nevertheless, the door is shut to this message. All right? So let me take you now to another verse. And you probably have seen this before. It's Luke chapter 13. And we've kind of looked at this verse a little bit earlier in to a certain extent, but I want to look at it again now from a different angle. And I'll start back in verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, but shall not be able. All right? Now, there are many also who will be seeking to enter in at the door and will not be able. So it's going to work both ways. Okay? When once the master of the house is risen up. Now, here's the thing we're waiting for. We're waiting for the master of the house to rise up. And I'm not sure what it's going to take to stir the master to rise up. I suspect it's going to take a real move of wickedness that's going to come across the earth that would threaten the very existence of the people of God. And then the master of the house is going to rise up and say, whoa, wait a minute. We're going to do something about this, okay? When once the master of the house has risen up and shut to the door. Now, this is a description, brethren, of what has happened back there in Matthew 25. They've been called in, amen, and the door has been shut. The master of the house has risen up, and that door is shut. And here's, now what's going on outside the door? And ye begin to stand without. They're not sitting. They're not sleeping anymore. They're standing. You see the difference of position? They're not relaxed anymore. They're not taking it easy. They're in tribulation. They're standing without. When you stand at the door, you are very desirous of having that door opened and enter in. To stand, amen, you begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord. Now here's that term, Lord, Lord. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in. So here they are, standing outside of a closed door, knocking on the door, which is Jesus. Jesus is the door now, remember. He is the door. They're calling upon him. They're praying. They're saying, oh Lord, oh Lord. Lord, Lord, Jesus, don't you hear our prayer? Jesus, we belong to you. We've been in the big meetings. Lord, we've fed at the table of the big evangelist. Lord, we've had meetings. Lord, we've participated in the gifts of the Spirit. Lord, we've delighted in you. We love you, Lord. And they begin to knock, and Lord, Lord, open, and he shall answer and say, I know you not whence you are. Now, what is this knowing you not? Is God ignorant of who we are? This is not the kind of knowing that we're talking about. All right? This is the kind of knowing that is a very intimate knowing. This is the kind of knowing that you read in the Bible of between the man and the wife. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. All right? There's an intimacy. This is the kind of knowing only a bride and the bridegroom have this kind of a knowing. He does not know others. He only knows that which is his beloved. It's a very intimate. They've cultivated a close relationship. They spent time together in their time of betrothal. They've learned to know what each one desires. You know, How do you like this? Do you like that? Oh, what does the master like? Oh, what pleases the master? And oh, I want to fix him the kind of food that he desires. I want to please him. I want to look the way he wants me to look. You know, this happens in the natural of people that are betrothed, that are planning to be married. This is the kind of knowing. I know you not. In other words, he's saying, we haven't had that kind of relationship. I don't know where you've been. And then he goes on. And he says, and they say, but they say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. See, we've been in the meetings. We have partaken of the bread of life. We have drunk. Amen. We've been in the communion services. Amen. And thou hast taught in our streets. Now, this streets mean, we don't have those kind of places here in America very much, but over in Europe, these are the big, wide open, what do they call them, Rita? The big central part of the big open part. They have a big place in Prague where everybody gathers, where the big clock is. The square, the town square, I guess that's what they call it. We don't have those big open spaces in very many places in America. But he's saying, we've been in the big meetings where all the crowds were gathered. Lord, we knew, we've heard the word, you know. And no, that's not sufficient. And he says, but I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Now again, he's using this word iniquity. You are doing what you want to do. In other words, you've decided that this is the kind of ministry that you want to have. You know, I've known people that had some success in casting out some demons. So what did they do? Well, now they're a deliverance ministry. Well, are you sure that's what God wanted you to do? Or there's other people that say, well, we're pretty good singers, we're pretty good with the guitar and the music. We're going to have a music ministry. So we're just going to travel around and we're going to sing and we're going to go to this church and we're going to go to that church and we're going to sing and people give us a little offering. No, you're working iniquity, brethren, if God didn't call you to that. So you see what happens sometimes is a singer from the world gets saved and gets his sins forgiven. Well, then he says, oh, what a waste of all my talent. I'm going to become a Christian singer. And so I'm going to use the same lyrics, the same music, and the same beat, but now I'm going to put Christian words to it. Or now, you know, instead of the old kind of rap that we used to do where we were speaking our rebellion against this and that and the police and everything else, now we're going to rap about Jesus. You know, and all the young people are all going to be so thrilled. Is this not iniquity, brethren? Is this the message that God wants in this day and in this hour? Yes, it's true. It's salvation is a true message. Amen? But let's move on. Let's not keep the people bound at that place in the outer court. Hallelujah. So, he says, he goes on. He says, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brethren, have you ever seen anybody in such pain where they are gnashing their teeth, grinding their teeth? Have you ever witnessed that kind of pain? Brethren, I graduated as a professional registered nurse. My first job was in the emergency room of a 400-bed hospital, and there were only two of us nurses on the shift. We took care of everything that came in from that big city. I tell you, I saw people shot. I saw people cut up with switchblades. I saw people in accidents that went right through the front end of their car. I saw people that had been hit by trains. I have seen terrible pain, but I don't know how many times I've seen the intensity of where they were grinding their teeth because the pain was so intense. This is not a pleasant scene, brethren. What Daniel was telling us is going on in the secret realms of the high realms of politics. They are bringing something terrible upon this earth that you cannot imagine. And why am I saying what I'm saying? Why am I spending my time with this kind of message? Because I'm telling you that there is a way, a secret place under the Most High. There's a place you can come. Amen? But it is not just the fact that you believe this word. It's the fact that you are allowing the oil to work something in your soul and change you into His likeness. That's the only place you can go to escape what's coming. Listen, stand on the soapbox and cry it out in the city streets. Cry out to those who need to hear this message. But you know what? The problem is they are comfortable, they are satisfied, and things are going well in their life. You know, I see a little picture, I see a little vision sometimes of who is going to be in this place. It's not going to be the powerful-looking people that you expect. It's not going to be the great television evangelist that's going to be shouting these messages from his platform. Let me give you a little picture. I see a little old man, maybe 90 years old. Maybe he's walking with a cane. Maybe his face is disfigured. And he is speaking with authority the powerful word of God, and they don't like it, and they try to kill him. But they discover they cannot stop him. I see a little old woman. I see a young woman with little children. She isn't dressed fancy. She doesn't seem to have much. And yet there's a power of God that has been endued in this little woman. I see a teenager who has found the secret. Amen? Maybe even a child. Why? Because they have been obedient to the Lord. So, here he says, you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Let's take it from Jesus' day to our day. You're going to see people you know. If you're outside, you're going to see people you know who have that power. And you yourselves have been locked out. This is a warning to those in the outer court. This is where this warning is going. Amen? And they shall come from the east and the west and from the north and the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. They're going to come from all races. They're going to come from all kingdoms. They're going to come from all nationalities. Amen? It's going to be colorblind. Amen? It's going to be blind to culture. Amen? It's going to be blind to tribal affiliation. You'll be surprised who's going to be there. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Amen. Now go over to Luke chapter 12. Amen. Luke chapter 12. And that's just one page over. And we're going to look at verse 35. Now, he said that we're talking to those who have been the foolish virgin here. I think we read this before. I think Brother Ron brought it to our attention a couple weeks ago. He says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. In other words, in order to have your light burning, you have to have gotten some oil. When and ye yourselves like men that wait for their Lord when he shall return from the wedding. This is after the wedding, afterwards. Okay? That when he cometh and knocketh, they will open unto him immediately. So you see, the Lord he has a plan. He's going to be able to save those who are out there in the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. He's going to be able to save those who said, Lord, Lord, but they didn't enter in. So he's coming to minister to them now, those who have been through terrible, terrible tribulation and have survived. Amen? They will open immediately. Why? They're ready now. They're not ready to shut him out. They don't have their own agenda anymore. Everything else has failed. Nothing else is working. Amen? Blessed are those servants when his Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat and will come and serve them. He's going to minister to them. Amen? They're not. He hasn't forgotten them. Amen? And if he shall come in the second watch, or in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Amen? Now, let me take you to the book of Daniel. And we've already read, I think, Matthew 24. Let me just read it again. Matthew 24, verse 42. He said, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know ye this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now I want to take you to the book of Daniel for a minute. And because I got a vision, so to say, of what is really going to happen, maybe from another perspective. Go to the book of Daniel chapter 12. It might have been something that I read of Brother DeSeel's daily devotional that caught my attention. Chapter 12. Okay. Chapter 12, let's start in verse 1. I'm just going to pick a few verses out of Daniel chapter 12. At that time, now the time that he's talking about here is our time. Our time. Our time. A time of great trouble. At that time shall Michael stand up. Do you suppose, Daniel, that you saw Michael come with the other angels? I wonder if that's the angel that you saw. At that time shall Michael stand up. Stand up. See, when the master of the house is risen up, when Michael stands up, something's going to happen. The great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. This is not just a Jewish angel, brethren. This is the people of God. Amen? And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. There will be a way of salvation, brethren. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord. Now, some are going to have to go through terrible tribulation. Do you understand? But some will be in a place in Christ, in a different place. Amen. All right, let me pick up now verse 3, I believe it is. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. So you see there's a contrast here. Not everyone is going to be wise. Wise what? Wise virgins, right? Isn't that the same word? Wise. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. This is the glory of God. Not just on them, but in them. They're going to stand out. We don't stand out very much right now. But something is going to happen. God is going to put a change in us that is going to... We're going to stand out. Brethren, I hope you're not shy, because you're going to have to stand out. Amen? And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. That's a brightness. That's a shining. Amen? That's a multitude. That's not one single person. That's a multitude. Stars. Amen? Now, come down to verse 7. Okay? And in verse 6, he said, "How long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" All right, now listen to verse 7. "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and times and a half." What does that add up to? A time is one, a times is two, that makes three, plus a half. So this is three and a half. This is not seven. This is three and a half. This is the last half of Daniel's 70th week. So he's giving the time here. "And when he shall have accomplished..." Now listen, 3.5 years, what's going to happen in this 3.5 years is when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, and all these things shall be finished. Now, I looked up that word scattered in the Hebrew that I have, and I found an interesting word. It means smashed to pieces. Smashed to pieces. Let me show you another verse that is, in other words, the enemy. God is going to allow the enemy to smash to pieces who? The holy people. That's the church. Holy people. That's the outer court church. Smashed to pieces, to smithereens. He's going to allow it. Brethren, get a vision of what I'm talking about. These are our friends. These are nice people. These are some of your family. These are people we consider good people. Lawful people. They're not troublemakers. But they've been given a false sense of security that they are safe in these organizations that they've become a part of. They've come under the words of the leadership, a comforting word. Some of them have come to the word that they'll be raptured off, that they don't have to worry about any trouble. But Daniel is saying that it is going to be totally accomplished, a total destruction. So you see, the thing that the enemy wants to do in smashing God's people to pieces is the very thing that in the end God is going to accomplish to them. Go back to Daniel chapter 2, and we're going to see what happens with this stone that is cut without hands. Because the enemy is going to get what he's been dishing out to God's people. Why is God allowing this thing to happen to his church? He's looking for purity. You see, we're a mixture. We're a mixed up bunch. We want the world, and we want godliness too. We want to have the best of both. We want to have the pleasures. We want to have the comforts of the flesh, of the world. We are mixed. And tribulation is the only thing that will drive that mixture out, so that the only thing left will be gold, which will be the nature of God himself. I said Daniel chapter 2. Look at verse... Where is this verse in Daniel chapter 2? I think it's verse 40. That we, oh, look, 34 to 35, first of all. And thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands. Man had nothing to do with this new church. This is the roller of God rolling down, smashing everything in its. This is not man's organization, cut without hands. Amen. Which smote the image, this beast. Amen. This dragon smote the image. Amen. Upon his feet. That's our time. That's our day. Feet. Amen. That were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Hallelujah. Then was the iron and clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, broken to pieces together. The whole world empire of politics, dominions, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. Little pieces. Amen. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. Not one remnant of the old order left, brethren. The old political order, the old religious order, not one remnant left when God is finished with it all. Amen. And we're going to be part of that stone. Amen. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Look at verse 40. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as the iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. It's not just going to be broken, but it's going to be broken with anger, with malice, I'm looking for a word here. You understand what I mean? Not just collateral damage, but with intent, with vengeance, with hatred. Hallelujah. So, just a couple more in Daniel, and then we can wrap it up here. Chapter 8 in Daniel. We're talking about what is going to happen outside of that door. Where are these foolish virgins? What is happening? Chapter 8, verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, amen, when the transgressors are come to the full. Do you see this word? Transgressors come to the full. Everything has to come to its fullness. God is going to allow the devil to come to his fullness in the earth. The technology that's available to the world, the technology to track us, the technology to stop us, the technology to silence us, the technology to track us, everything, it's available. And they're going to use it, and they're going to come to their fullness. Amen? Wickedness. But you see, at the same time, righteousness, the kingdom of God among men will also have to come to their fullness. God will not allow this darkness to rise up without giving us a chance to rise up in opposition in his power. Hallelujah. Amen. So transgressors come to the full. A king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences will stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. In other words, he's going to get power from the devil. And he shall destroy wonderfully. This is the same picture of the scattering of the saints. Amen. And he shall prosper. Amen. Woe to you if prosperity is your goal in life. He shall prosper. Amen. And practice. And shall, that word practice, that means he will accomplish the thing that he intends. And shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy, through his cunning, through his cunning, he shall cause craft. This is deceit. even witchcraft. He shall cause deceit to prosper in his hand. My goodness, if we're not living in a day and age in which deceit is prospering, in the highest level of our government, deceit has taken over. Amen? Taken over the news, those who are in charge of the big news programs, the new agent, the agencies that people of the world depend on, say, oh, this is the truth. No, it's deceit that is prospering. They choose what they will report, and they choose to play down what they don't want to report. And they choose to lie about it even. Amen? Craft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart. And by peace, you know, when they say peace and prosperity, this is going to be the selling point. This is why every nation should buy into the program. Because we need peace. We've had too much war. We need to get the Russians, the Chinese, all these other enemies. We need to get them. They're all going to come to the table. Everybody's going to be at peace now. And we're going to have a new world order. Oh, hallelujah, yes. That's what they say, or they will say. And they're saying it now. And by peace shall destroy many. Amen. And of course, this word peace means prosperity. Everybody's going to have prosperity. There's going to be an income for everybody. Nobody's going to be unemployed. We're going to cure the violence in the streets. We're going to, everybody, there'll be no more need for people to shoot one another in our cities. Amen? And he shall stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Amen. That was chapter 8. Let me take you to chapter 7, a couple of verses here. 7:21. Okay. And I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Brethren, this is not an outer court church that got raptured off into space somewhere. If they're raptured off on some cloud or some planet or somewhere off in heavenly places, then how can the same horn prevail against them? No, they're here. They're here. And except except those days be shortened, even the elect would be destroyed. Amen? Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. You see, here's the last chapter. Here's the bottom line. And the saints possessed the kingdom. Hallelujah. So he's going to prevail against the saints of the Most High. Now go to verse 23. For thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse, different from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth. Brethren, you can't go off to a secret place out on some South Sea Pacific island to the Solomon Islands and find a place of refuge or wherever it is you think you're going to find one. There's no place. The whole earth. Amen? Earth. Earth is the carnal realm, brethren. The carnal realm is going to be completely inundated with this thing. And he shall tread it down and break it in pieces. In other words, he's going to trample it. Trample it down. Hallelujah. Now, let me finish with this verse. We're going back to Revelation 11. And maybe we can pick up another time with Revelation 11. But let's go back there. Because we saw from Daniel, there's a lot that is also repeated in Revelation. Now, let's start in just the first two verses. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. So he's been given a measuring rod here, okay? In America, we used to call them the yardstick. you would probably call them a meter stick in Europe, where you have, it's almost the same size. Amen? And he said, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. So, what is he to measure? What is he to measure? He's to measure the temple of God. Now, and so, is he going to measure the outer court, or is he going to measure the inner court? Is he going to measure a physical structure, or is he going to measure the people of God? The temple of God, brethren, New Testament definition, temple of God is we are the temple. And the word from John here in Revelation 11 is that we are being measured. To be measured means we are being examined. How are we being examined? We are being examined by the Word of God. Now, you notice here that the instruction was given to an apostle, a man. So, when we talk about the apostolic message, I think the first thing we mentioned here in this series was this apostolic message. This apostolic message is to measure us. How do we stack up against this word that God is giving us? And by the way, this message is to be brought by men, humans, not by angels. This is not an angel message. This is an instruction, say, from an angel to a man to measure God's people. All right? But now the next verse, it says, but the court that is outside the temple, leave it out and measure it not. Now this is not the world. This is not the unredeemed. This is not the sea of humanity. This is the outer court, people born again, saved, shall we say, but not in the fullness of Christ. They are not holy place people or holy of holies people, whatever. We don't have anybody living in the Holy of Holies yet, brethren. But this is what's going to happen. There's going to be a Holy of Holies people. Amen? So, leave out the outer court and measure it not. Measure it not. In other words, the opportunity to buy oil has passed. They've already been given their opportunity. Now, measure those who are going to be in this special place that comes in the following verses, okay? And it shall be given to the Gentiles and the holy city. See, so many times I've read this phrase, holy city, holy people, and I've been confused about it. Well, Lord, wait a minute, which way is it going to go? I thought there was a secret place in the Most High where you wouldn't be trampled. Now you're saying the holy people, the holy city, is going to be trampled underfoot. Who are you talking about? There's a separation of the church is what's happened. And this is the whole picture of Matthew 25, the parable of the virgins, is a separation in the church. Separation by the hand of God, not by the hand of man. And the holy city shall they tread, and you can just make the word trample right there. Trample underfoot, trample and break in pieces. This is what they're going to do. And when he shall have accomplished the destruction of the holy people in Daniel. Amen? Underfoot, 42 months. And in Daniel it said a time and times and half a time. So we leave it here now. This is a picture of a 3.5-year period in which, if you are not a wise virgin, you're going to be going through without the protection of God in your natural man. You will be able to be saved. Yes, you will be able to get oil. You'll get the oil, but you won't be able to enter in to those who are in this place for 3.5 years. They're not locked out of heaven, eternal, eternity, whatever. No, they're not locked out of that. But you see the price. So here's the choice. You can pay the price now. You can pay the price of the oil, the tribulation, working it in your soul. You can pay it now, or you can take it easy now, and you're going to pay it during the 3.5 years. Which way do you want it? This is serious, brethren. This is serious. Brethren, we need to get this message to our families, to our friends, to our brethren. God bless. I'm going to turn the recording off then at this point. Hallelujah.